Thank you, David. As I mentioned last week, I was flipping my messages around a little bit, so I prepared this message last week and decided to wait for the week. So this is actually last week's message. And so I want to open my message today actually with last week's Haftarah portion from Ezekiel. So let's go Ezekiel 43, verses 10 and 11. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform it. So this is what God is telling Ezekiel. And basically he's giving them, we're reading from this and from the Haftarah portion the week before. It's all about the temple. So, you know, even though no one likes to hear messages about sin, especially about our own sins, we don't like to hear that. It's necessary to talk about sin and the sin condition to keep our walk in balance. It's necessary to talk about these things. Not that we have to talk about it each and every week, but we have to have this balance in our messages. We have to have this balance in our walk. We have to have this balance in what we hear and understand, and we allow ourselves to truly think about on a daily basis. Now, I'm sure you would all rather hear messages only about love and blessings and everlasting life. And we are all aware of those who can fill stadiums by teaching and preaching only about love and blessings and everlasting life and how much God loves us. Because that's what people like to hear, and that's what attracts people. And so they feel like no one's condemning me. No one's pointing a finger, but the reality is we need to keep our spiritual lives in balance and to truly understand both sides and understand these things. There are too many people that don't want to be reminded that sin is real. It's not just around us, but it is real in our lives. Because it's around us so much that can affect us on every level, each and every day. And sin is all around us, and we are born, and sometimes people hate to even hear this, but the reality is we were born into sin because of Adam and Eve. And so just because of Adam and Eve, all of our father and mother, if you go back from the beginning, they sinned, and because of their sin, we are born into sin. And there are a lot of people that just don't want to hear that or even be reminded about that. I wouldn't be presenting the gospel honestly. I wouldn't be presenting the good news honestly. My messages would not be honest if we were to take all of my messages together. But I don't want people to beat themselves over the head because we are born into sin. I want us to do something about it and to react about it and to change our lives just the way God wanted the people of Israel. I'm not going to say the children of Israel, but they were the children of Israel. But God said, when I show them what the temple is, why it's here, all about it, what's done in it, I want them to realize it's all because of your sin that all this stuff goes on in the temple. And I want them to be ashamed, as long as it leads to something good. He doesn't want them to be ashamed for the rest of their lives and beating themselves over the head and do nothing about it. He wants them to do something positive about it. And so that's what I want. I want people to do something positive about the fact that we do have this sin condition. Look at those two opening verses. God directs Ezekiel to describe these things to him, to them. He could have just said, show them the temple. But he adds that, and when they are ashamed of it, now you go on and now you really tell them what's going on with the temple and inside the temple. The temple was the place where Israel needed to have the priests kill an innocent animal or innocent animals, sometimes by the thousands. Kill the innocent animals and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, so that the people's sins could be atoned for. I want to remind everyone and people that are going to be listening to this message out on the web, this concept, because so many Jewish people today think that's a Christian concept. It isn't a Christian concept. It's a Jewish concept. It's a God concept. This is the only way that we can have our sins atoned for, is by the shed blood. Ezekiel, describe that temple so my people can be ashamed of their sins. Messages and sermons about sin are not to condemn us. They're not to point a finger at any of us. They should make us feel bad. And at the same time, they should make us feel joyful that we have a way to come to eternal life and have life-changing decisions in our life. So it's sort of like a bittersweet thing if our eyes are open and our hearts are open. Yes, let's be ashamed and let's feel bad about it, but let's be joyful that we have a way to take care of this thing. Like I said, if Israel did nothing for it, this isn't what God wanted. He wanted them to have that bittersweet experience. Be ashamed of it and understand what God was leading to and what God was doing inside of that temple. You know, this morning I want to talk about scars, and I hope that after talking about scars, we come to love our scars, as crazy as it sounds, to love our scars. Scars are not pretty. They are reminders of something unpleasant that happened in our lives to our bodies. We all have scars. Scars are there for a reason. Scars mend the skin to be tougher. Scar tissue is much tougher than our skin, but it's not as resilient because it is tougher. It has more fibers in it. It's more fibrous, so to speak. Now, here's an interesting piece of trivia that I'm going to use this morning, that I'm going to sort of dig up from my college days. That's trivia. That's ancient. It's called ancient trivia. Yes, ancient wisdom, yes. The cells of your tongue do not scar. It's the only cells, external cells, that don't scar. Your tongue. Your tongue has some of the most blood supply in it than any other part of your body. The tongue repairs itself without scarring. I want you to think about this morning. Think about how many times you have bit your tongue. Right? Think about it. You might have bitten your tongue 100 times in your lifetime. Bitten it, right? Sometimes bitten on it real hard. It would bleed. But it doesn't scar. It repairs itself without scarring. If every time you bit your tongue, it's scarred, if every time I bit my tongue, when it's scarred, it is what I would tell like right now. Because my tongue would not be able to bend and flex. It wouldn't be able to bend. It wouldn't be able to flex itself. Your tongue can go through all kinds of motions that other muscles in your body cannot do. And so now when you think about this, we realize God is so detailed in creating us. And it is most, okay, so let's look at this and understand we use it to speak every day. Without it, we really wouldn't be able to speak. Most consonants, the A, E, I, O, and U, don't really need your tongue. The vowels, only a few need your tongue. Almost all of your consonants, the other of the alphabet that aren't A, E, I, O, and U, okay, got it? All right, so they need your tongue to form those phonetics. And if you would just try to think about, don't do it now during my message, please. But maybe when you go home, if you'll be a reminder of it, just think about it and sit there and try to make different consonants. T, the letter T, G, a G, G, T. Well, you know what? Do them right now. It'll be a little lesson. Make the T sound. T. Do you need your tongue to touch the back of your teeth? T. Now make a G. G. Now the tongue is touching the back of your hard palate, isn't it? G. T. Without your tongue moving, a T would sound like a G and a G would sound like a T. Yes, I learned this in college because my minor was speech and hearing pathology. So just to let you know. But that's what that is how intricate this tongue is. And it never scars. However, if we look at our lives, we know that all scars are not physical. Scars are like sin, actually, and I started thinking about this. Our scars, and we talk about, we have inner scars. There have been songs about it, and there are poems about it. But the thing is, scars are like sin. Scars remind us that sin is painful. When you have a scar on you, you know there was something that happened painful there. And if you have a scar because of surgery, you may not have experienced the initial pain because they had you under anesthesia. But scars are a reminder that something painful happened. And scars remind us that sin is painful. Scars, like sin's pain, don't always show up immediately. When we sin, a lot of times something good seems to come out of it initially. Well, I'm glad I did that because look what happened to me. Well, I'm glad I robbed that 7-Eleven because look at all the money I've got. You see? So sin may feel good. But the thing is, scars remind us of what happened on our body. And so there's a process. You cut your skin. It gets red and inflamed. Then a scab forms over it. And then after the scab falls away, you will see there will be a scar under it where the skin healed. It is a process. And so there's not this immediate reaction. Just like sin, in most cases, there may not be an immediate reaction to it. You can cover a scar up. You can cover it with clothing. Women, you can cover a scar with makeup. You can cover it with a Band-Aid on you. But it's still there underneath. It's still underneath the Band-Aid or the makeup or the clothing. The scar is still there. And for most, in most cases, it will always be there. It may fade away a little. It may be smoother over the years. But if you look carefully, you will see the scar. It is always there. Sin is always there unless we can do so. You know, the wonderful thing about sin, it's like a scar, but it's not a scar. It can be removed. Scars should remind us not to make the same mistake again. We do stupid things sometimes when we were younger, and we got scars from it. And sometimes, hopefully, we learn the lesson not to do that stupid thing again, because look what happened to you. And maybe 4 or 5 years down the line, you look and you see the scars and you remember the stupid thing you did, and you remember, I'm not going to do that again. That's why scars are there also. Not to make that same mistake again. We should learn from our mistakes. We should learn from our scars. And so, in a way, we should really get to love our scars because they do help us to make good decisions. Not to do the same things again and again. The scars of our sins remind us of our relationship with Messiah Yeshua. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he was a man of many scars. He had a lot of scars. He knew how Yeshua suffered for him. And so he was willing to serve his God and his Messiah, because he knew the suffering that Yeshua went through. So let's look at 2 Corinthians when he wrote to the Corinthians, and he writes this in a letter. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. And it was a night and a day that I was in the deep. So he was shipwrecked, and he was a night and a day in the water. He went through a lot of stuff. So I say he was a man of many scars because of that. However, Shaul's scars served a purpose. They gave him strength. They gave him strength to preach and teach and to write letters and to serve the Lord. They gave him strength. I can't say for sure, but I can only imagine that Shaul looked at his scars and he saw them as badges of courage. I don't know. But when he saw the scars on his body, I can only imagine that he looked at them and he at least knew that those scars were there for a purpose. They were his badges of courage. He had those scars because of what he did to serve Messiah Yeshua. If you took a few minutes and you scanned all of the scars on your body, you could tell about a lot of your life. And you could say, See that scar that I have, and I still have it, and I was 5 years old, and I still have the scar there, faintly there, but I know it's there. See that? That's when I was 5 years old, and I got hit in the head with a swing. In the old days, they had metal on the swings on the bottom. So, hit, boom, chew. That's it. Oh, and I have some scars on my thumb here. When I was in a car accident, I have a little bit of a scar here. You can see there's a little eyebrow missing. Why? Because I was in that car accident and somebody was driving and I hit the dashboard and got cut and everything. So I can look at my scars, and if I go through all the scars, I mean, I could tell you, and I had this surgery and this is what happened and I did this and I did that. You can pretty much give a timeline of different things that you experienced that you were so privileged to experience in your life by looking at your scars. They tell our journey in life out in the physical world. They tell our journey. Sometimes we do receive those inward scars as we serve the Lord. And there are some people that don't want to serve the Lord because they don't want to get scarred. They don't want to have anything bad happen to them. It, you know, not even that it may create a scar, but figuratively thinking, something bad might happen to you if you serve the Lord. If you serve the Lord and something bad happens to you, then you know what? Sometimes we should just look at it as our scars are badges of courage because we serve the Lord. God doesn't always tell us if we serve him, everyone's going to be peachy keen and roses every day. But he wants us to serve him. There may not be people that see those scars, but they're there. If you've done something to serve the Lord and something's happened to your life and it's there and you know about it, other people may not even know about it. And it doesn't mean that you have to tell people about it, but they're there. But they are there. Those are just scars that are sort of invisible. They're sort of on the inside and people don't know about them. Are badges of courage. But God sees those scars. God sees them. God knows every problem that you come across when you're attempting to serve him. He knows those scars. He knows what's happened to you. He sees those things. So it doesn't matter if other people don't see them. God knows them. We know Yeshua had plenty of physical scars from all the beatings and whippings that he had. You know, we're reminded when we saw the movie, you know, that came out some years ago, Mel Gibson's movie about, you know, Yeshua. It was the most physical, the most true physical of how he was really beaten, not just beaten black and blue, but his flesh was literally shred. Now, some people would say, you know, they would say, he was beaten so, and they try to make this analogy here. They say he was beaten so severely that by the time he got up to the cross, he couldn't even be recognized as a human. He was so bloody and shredded and beaten that he could have just looked like a severely beaten and shredded animal. That's the beating and the scars that he went through for us, for each and every one of us. And as terrible as it sounds, we need to be thankful for God willing to come in the flesh and to suffer and die in that way. We need to be thankful for it. Sometimes it sounds crazy to people. We should be thankful that God did that. Yes, because he took our place. He paid the fee. He paid the ransom. He was the substitute for what we should have been and had. So I can only imagine to spend eternity without God, how severe it has to really be. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Messiah is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. So we should be thankful for what God did. And when one of Yeshua's disciples, Thomas, doubted about Yeshua's resurrection, and that's why we say, oh, you're a doubting Thomas, because he was the disciple that doubted that Yeshua was resurrected. Why? Because he wasn't there when he first appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. He wasn't there. And so when he did see, when he heard about it, he doubted the resurrection. And so Yeshua showed him his hands and feet. Let's look at it. John 20, 27, 28, and 29. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Yeshua said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Now, let me tell you, in that, not only do we see the reality of the resurrection here, but we also see in that we can all leave today. All of those that believe in Yeshua and have accepted Yeshua as their Messiah and have asked for forgiveness of sin and have asked God to allow their sins atoned for. Each and every one of us today we were given a blessing 2,000 years ago. We have all been blessed by Messiah Yeshua. Understand that today. Because blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And we weren't there, but we believe. We just got a blessing from the Lord today. Love your scars, people. As crazy as it sounds. Love them inside and outside. We love them in a way, the physical, but we need to love the spiritual scars also. They have brought all of you, including me, each and every one of you, they have brought you to be where you are today. I know that some of you came to accept Messiah Yeshua because of some terrible things that happened in your life. I know there are some people here that their lives were great, but they still saw with spiritual eyes the reality of who Messiah was. But there are a lot of stories out there, all kinds of stories, where God brought you to a point and you accepted him and Messiah Yeshua. And so be thankful for your scars, because those scars have brought you where you are today. Love your scars, everyone. Father, we thank you for sometimes allowing us to go through garbage, Some people get down to the lowest point that they ever could get in their lives. Because the only way down there, the only way to look is to look up. So, Lord, we thank you for those scars. We thank you that we are here today and whatever the situations in our lives has brought us here today because this decision that we made, whether it was a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, 20, 50 years ago, it was a decision that will give us eternal life, that makes our lives today nothing but a drop, a grain of sand on a beach. Because eternity is eternity. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all these things, and yet for bringing us to that decision and allows us to be together today. We praise you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you.